Okay, Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Let me read. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself. Because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honour and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality.
Hello everyone, my name is Brian, and let me add my welcome to Phil's. I'm on staff here at the Aldersgate Talks. What's wrong with judging other people? After all, it's what our culture loves to do. We love to look down on those who are seen to be morally inferior. Evil dictators like President Putin. Some people I had lunch with the other day couldn't stop criticizing Prince Harry for sharing his family secrets with the public for money. And even for those of us who are Christians, we like to pass judgment on others in our own hearts. He's a gossiper, or she's so worldly. I know I certainly do. It's something that all of us do. We like to pass judgment on others. So what's wrong with it? Well, the Apostle Paul teaches us from today's passage that self-righteous people are in trouble with God. Self-righteous people are in trouble with God. Why? Well, because they are hypocrites, and they will have to face God's just judgment. Today's passage is part of a section from chapter 1, verse 16, to chapter 3, verse 20. Paul is responding to a series of arguments against God's verdict on humanity. His conclusion can be found in chapter 3, verse 19. So that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. In other words, everyone will finally admit that they are guilty of rejecting God. Back in chapter 1, at the start of Paul's argument, God's wrath, that's his anger, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In other words, God is angry at humanity's rejection of him, the Creator. We worship created things rather than the Creator. And as a result, God has given us up to all sorts of wickedness, such as sexual immorality, covetousness, envy, murder, and gossip. And in our passage today, we learn that self-righteous people are not excluded from God's anger. They are under God's judgment as well. So let's dive into the passage now. You'll see an outline of the talk on the back of the notice sheets on your tables. Our first point: the self-righteous will be judged by God. The self-righteous will be judged by God. Look down with me to verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. The issue is that some people are passing judgment on others. Verse 2 says that they pass judgment on others. Verse 3 goes on to say that they judge those who do such things. And so these people think that they are morally superior to other people. They look down on those who are less upright than themselves. They are self-righteous. Paul may have been referring to Jewish people in these verses, because only they would know about God's kindness and repentance from their knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. They were passing judgment on others, but not doing good themselves. But since Paul doesn't explicitly describe them as Jewish, we won't either. Paul says that it is the self-righteous who are under the judgment of God. They are the ones who are in the dock. God is their judge. He says to them in verse 1, "You have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things." And then in verse 3, he says, "Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God?" God is declaring his verdict on the self-righteous. They are hypocrites. They are not morally superior to other people because they do the very same things as those they look down on. They condemn others for bad behavior, but they themselves act in the same way. And so, they are under God's judgment. Paul exposes their wickedness even further in verses 4 and 5. In verse 4, he says, "They presume on God's kindness by refusing to repent." That means turning back to God. He goes on to say in verse 5, "Because of their hard and impenitent heart, they are storing up wrath for themselves on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." In other words, these self-righteous people keep sinning because they have hard hearts. So it's not just that their actions are evil, it is that they have hard hearts that lead to these evil actions. Remember the logic back in chapter 1? You were here. Paul says in chapter 1 that their darkened hearts leads to God giving them up to all sorts of immorality. Hard hearts lead to evil actions. And the same is true of these self-righteous people. They too have hard hearts that then result in evil actions. They too are part of the worldwide rebellion of humanity against God. And because they refuse to repent, they will face God's just judgment on Judgment Day. And notice how much of God's anger is building up to that point. Paul deliberately uses the language of storing up wrath for the day of wrath. We are meant to realize that with the passing of each day, God's anger is building up. Each evil act, whether that's sexual immorality, envy, or murder, or anything else, is incurring more of God's wrath. Each lie, gossip, and boast is adding to God's fury. Verse 4 tells us that God is kind and restrained and patient. He is postponing judgment to give time to people to repent, to turn back to him. But one day, his patience will run out. And on that day of wrath, God will pour out his accumulated anger on the self-righteous. And that day will be terrifying for them. And so Paul is saying that those who judge others will themselves be judged by God. They will be exposed as hypocrites who commit the very same things as the people they judge. Their refusal to repent will mean that they receive God's just judgment on the day of wrath. Their persistent evil behavior will lead to them receiving God's anger. Well, as I said at the start, our culture loves to pass judgment on each other. Think of influential movements in recent times, Black Lives Matter, Greta, LGBT, they all pass judgment on others. And then others, in response, love to pass judgment on them. People like Piers Morgan, Jordan Peterson, movements like Christian nationalism. Just go on Twitter and you'll see evidence of people judging each other. As human beings, we love to judge. We think that we are morally superior to other people. We quickly highlight the flaws of other people because it makes us feel good about ourselves. Well, God will not let us get away with judging, with this behavior of judging each other. If we judge others, we must know that we too will be judged by God. The truth is that those of us who condemn others do the same things that we condemn them for. Now, it's true that perhaps we don't do these things to the same degree. Now, for example, we might not have murdered millions of people like Hitler or Stalin, but Jesus says that we have committed murder in our hearts if we hate our brothers and sisters, if we hate other people. We may not have committed adultery, but Jesus says that whoever looks at someone with lustful intent has already committed adultery with them. And so those of us who pass judgment on others are actually hypocrites. We too deserve God's just judgments. We won't be let off the hook. Instead, we will also face God's anger on Judgment Day alongside Hitler and Stalin. Now, this is a really sobering judgment. And it may be the first time that you've heard this. It may come as quite a big shock. You may think that it sounds quite harsh. Well, if you do, please don't hesitate to speak to Phil, Julia, or myself. We'd love to help you think through this. We acknowledge that it is a hard-hitting message, and we appreciate that it may take time to process it. Well, our opening question was, why are self-righteous people in trouble with God? Well, we've already seen that these self-righteous people are hypocrites and deserving of God's just judgment. They do the very same things as those they judge. Well, Paul now goes on to establish the justice of God. And the question is God actually a just judge? If God condemns us for being hypocrites, well, what about himself? Is he a fair judge? And I think that's a reasonable question to ask. I'm sure those with kids will know that every child's favorite comeback is, but that isn't fair. Paul now addresses this question. Is God actually fair in his judgment? And that's our second point. God will judge everyone justly. Paul starts his argument in verse 6. He says, God will render to each one according to their works. Render is just another word for handing out. On Judgment Day, God will hand out judgment to each person according to their works. Verse 7 tells us that to those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. What's Paul saying here? Well, in simple terms, those who do good will receive eternal life, but those who do evil will have to face God's just judgment. And this shows that God really is just. Well, we know this because every justice system in this world is built upon this principle. If a person does good, he'll be rewarded. But if he does evil, he will be punished. Every person who breaks the law is supposed to face the wrath of the justice system. The Old Bailey is just a short walk from here. I know there's one person who normally comes here works there. And every day at the Old Bailey, the judges judge people based on their actions. If they are innocent, they are acquitted, but if they're guilty, then they'll be punished. Now imagine if the judge freed the guilty and punished the innocent person instead. Well, there would be an outcry, because justice wouldn't be served. So God is being fair by rewarding those who do good and punishing those who do evil. He is a just judge. But someone who knows the Old Testament might come back to Paul and say, but isn't God unfair because he favors Jewish people? After all, they are his chosen race and special people in the Old Testament. Well, Paul tackles this objection in verses 9 and 10. Look down with me to these verses. He says, there will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. So what Paul is saying here is that God isn't going to show favoritism to the Jewish people on Judgment Day. He will judge both Jewish people and non-Jewish people by the same standards. Those who do good will receive honor, and those who do evil will have to face God's judgment. Yes, God will judge Jewish people first, because they were the first to receive God's law. But the basis of judgment will be exactly the same as for non-Jewish people. The key question will be, did they do good or did they do evil? Of course, the opposite is true as well. God will not favor non-Jewish people. They won't be able to use their non-Jewishness as an excuse for special treatment from God. They too will be judged based on their actions. He will judge everyone, whether Jews or non-Jews, in exactly the same way. And so Paul's answer to the question, is God a just judge, is a resounding yes. God is indeed fair in his judgment. He will judge everyone justly based on their works. And he concludes in verse 11, for God shows no partiality. God will not show favoritism towards anyone. And so the self-righteous person can't complain to God when they face his judgment. They are hypocrites, but he is not. He is right to condemn them for their evil deeds. Well, how does this all apply to us? Well, let's heed the warning by Paul. None of us can say to God on Judgment Day that he is unfair. We will have to submit to his perfectly just judgment. No excuse that we come up with will suffice. No complaints that we present to him will be accepted. God's verdict will be unquestionable. But this begs the question, how can we be those people described in verse 7? The ones who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. Because they are the ones who will receive eternal life. The good guys will get eternal life. But then even if I tried my hardest, I don't think I would ever be able to live up to that high standard all the time. If anything, what this passage does is to expose me as a self-righteous hypocrite who deserves God's just judgment. And you may be feeling the same as well. Well, if you feel convicted as well, what hope is there for us? Well, in verse 4, Paul says that God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. Repentance, as I said earlier, means turning back to God. It involves a change of direction. It means turning away from disobedience and turning back to God in obedience. So that must be a good place to start, turning back to God. And we've also seen in chapter 1, verse 16, that the gospel is God's power of salvation to everyone who believes. And so that must be at the heart of it. But how are these things linked? How do repentance, the gospel, and good works relate to each other? For that, we'll have to wait until later on in the letter of Romans. So please do come back for more. For those of us who are Christians, the fact that God judges everyone by their works may come as a surprise. We know that we are saved by grace and not by works. And that is true and biblical. We can rely on Christ's finished work on the cross to justify us, to make us right with God. But this passage also reminds us that God will indeed judge everyone by their works, including us, including Christians. We will have to give an account of our actions to God on Judgment Day. And so as those who are justified, let's make sure that we are doing good, not evil, so that when we come before Jesus as our judge, we can show him our good works. And he will graciously give us glory, honor, peace, and eternal life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you are indeed a just judge. We are so sorry for our hard hearts and our evil actions. Please help us to turn back to you daily. Help us to be the ones who seek glory, honor, and immortality so that we may receive eternal life from you on Judgment Day. In Jesus' name, amen.